And we are back here once again with another episode of the Iron Man Podcast, episode 376 with Mr. Star Million. What's up, man? How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
Anytime, dude. And you are obviously on the side of the earth that I'm not a part of. And I swear, I think maybe it's a cultural difference. You guys have really, really attractive women on your side of the world. They're just like so amazing. You guys have Sydney Sweeney. You guys have women with ginormous tits. And then everyone's like, yeah, yeah, they're such amazing people. And they're so good people. It's like, guys, we are just looking at these women for their tits. Oh, not one damn thing about these women, actually. The old Daniel's like, her face is up here. It's like, doesn't matter to me. Just has big tits. There's a face there. But let's start here. How was your life growing up, man?
It was all right. I grew up in London, so it was busy, like busy populated city kind of thing. And I've recently moved, well, last 6 months I moved up to Scotland. So I've went from like a capital with like 9 million people to like a little town with like 20,000 people in it.
What so, the yeah, wait, it's... you were in London? Yeah. So you're British actually, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay. So everyone keeps saying London's is super dangerous. So is that the reason why you guys left? Because I've been hearing a lot of bad things about London at this moment. There's a lot of bad problems in there.
Because I was born and raised there, and it's like you don't really notice it, like you know of it and you know of like trouble and stuff, but like one, it's like when you're raised in it, you know how to stay out of it.
Oh yeah, true. Yeah.
So it's not, you don't really
go in the dark alleys at night.
Yeah, I learned not to do that the hard way, but still, yeah, it's yeah, no, it wasn't really an issue. Like, I grew up at like a decent time anyway. Like, there weren't much. Like, I'm 36, so there weren't much social media when I was growing up. You could still go outside, play football on the street, and like not get stabbed. Where it's obviously ramped off a lot now. And I don't know, like, people blame all sorts of things, but like, I was listening to like terrible music growing up. Like, I was Eminem, like. Eminem saying about like kidnapping his wife and sticking her in the boot of your car kind of thing. So it's like that didn't happen much, like, but it's like, yeah, I don't know what to blame for it really. Like, some people say it's the postcodes, like it's a different areas kind of beefing over stuff, but honestly it's mostly just people, gangs fighting for territory to sling whatever they need to sling, and that's pretty much it. That's why there's been a little bit of a push to get stuff like legalized over here to kind of clamp down on that, because that's how it starts. You get that's a lot of kids in it, so they get the kids when they're young, get them to sell weed, and then the ones who are good at it progress up the ladder kind of thing.
They're like good at making job opportunities, you know.
That's the thing. There's more the economy. there's better for certain people in certain areas. It don't really matter what race or religion you are, like, it's just the opportunity that is presented to you, and it can make a lot of money for them. So it's like, there's not much you can. I don't agree with it. My dad was a police officer, so I couldn't exactly do anything like that. But But London was all right. Like, it's whatever you.
So you grew up most of your life in London. So I mean, you graduated high school in London, right?
Yeah, everything. Like, okay, literally everything. Born there. Yeah. Okay. Born, married. Okay. So kids.
Can you tell me this? Because like I come from like a League of Legends background, and you know, Europe's a place, there's a lot of heated rivalries with Europe, you know? What I find with European people is that they are just blunt for whatever reason. It's just in their nature to be blunt, right? So I think some of them I think it's fine to be blunt for a lot of things. I feel like we've not had enough bluntness. You know, now it's kind of like, oh, everything's reserved now. We got to talk nice to each other. And I agree, like, sometimes you got to be blunt. But if you're being blunt with everything, that is just unpleasant. Like, that's just like, you're about to become unbearable. And European people have the German people are the worst with it. German people are literally like, you ask them a question, how do you feel about relationships? And they're like, that okay. they're cool. Like, they're just always one word answer people.
It's just, well, the Germans are known for like being like super efficient in it. So it's like they just want to get from A to B as quick as possible.
Yeah,
so
I could never do one of these with a German person. Oh my God. It'd be like pulling. He's like, hey, why do you like Doritos chips? You know, they taste good. Yeah, they're pretty good. Yeah.
Okay. I like the triangles.
Oh God, man. And then you said after you, now you're in Scotland. How do you like Scotland more than London, actually?
Like the main one of those couple reasons we moved here. Less people. As I got older in it, like I'm married, two kids, I don't go out anymore. London's great to be young.
Okay.
And like to meet people, and like you get to meet people from across the world. Like my wife's Colombian kind of thing. So it's like you don't meet many other people from London in London, which is always good. And yeah, it's a great time when you're young, but it's not so much now. Like where we were living, like the gangs were getting a bit, like there was a lot of it going on, like a lot of stabbing started to like ramp up kind of thing. I got two boys, and generally with boys in London, they're going to go one or two ways. They're either going to join a gang or they're going to get bullied by one in it. So I was like, fuck it, let's move to Scotland, man.
You could understand moving from a whole entire like country like London is and going to another one. It's really hard, you know.
Yeah, I've got a lot of family, like my family's from Scotland originally anyway, so it's like the language, it's difficult for my wife because like it's quite their accents like proper thick up here, but I've been around it like long enough that I can kind of understand it. Sometimes I'm still like, what? I'm not from here. And they're like, oh, I know. And it's just like, okay, cool, man. But it's nice. Everyone's really friendly because the population's much smaller, so everyone's really friendly. And like literally 10 minutes away, there's a giant loch, which is a lake. And there's hills, and like I got a mountain like an hour drive away, where obviously I didn't have any of that in London. And university's free for the kids off here, so that's gonna save me money in the future.
Mm-hmm. And you said you're married, you have two kids. How do you enjoy being married, actually?
Yeah, like I always wanted to get married, and then I didn't want to get married because everyone I knew who was married isn't married anymore. So, but I wanted to buck that trend kind of thing. So we got married. We like worked through everything. If there's any ever, there's always arguments in it with.
Oh yeah, you know, women, but they always think they gotta talk back. You know, you gotta smack them down
It's she's Colombian, so they're quite feisty. So
I know what you mean. Colombian women are pretty. Yeah, they got that in them. They rap in their own language and stuff to their own mothers, and you know, good Lord. Alinity is Colombian, not Colombian, actually. Good Lord. No, explains why she has a huge ass. But nevertheless, so how you enjoy being a dad, actually? Because you know, two kids. Kids are a little, kids are crazy, actually.
Yeah, like it's again the thing when I was younger, I always wanted to have kids. It was kind of that thing where I was like, oh yeah, I want like five kids, and then I had two, and I was like, yeah, I'm done. Like, I don't need another three. Like, so yeah, no, it's good. Trying to raise them the right way. So that's again, come up to Scotland. Like, class sizes are a lot smaller. We make sure they read every night. Trying to get my oldest to start reading more comics at the moment, because I got dragged into comics at a young age. So I'm trying to drag him into it, but he's he prefers books at the moment. So it's not a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. it's good. Like he's just finishing up the last How to Train a Dragon book. And it's like,
oh, okay. Yeah, so, I like those movies. Those are good. I like those films. Yeah, and I don't know if you're going to have them watch the live action one. I don't know if you heard what they're going to do with the live action one. They're going to race swap the girl, the Viking white girl, for the light-skinned black girl that was in The Last of Us first episode.
I see. I didn't even... What that? that's the thing. I never watched The Last of Us. I never played it. Like,
me neither.
That's the thing. I got told about it. Oh, you got to play it. You got to play it. But I'm one of those people who is like, if you keep telling me something's good, like, I'm going to not, like, I'm not going to partake.
Yeah, until... the thing I watched from How to Train Your Dragon was, it's like a little Christmas special they had where all the dragons went out to get married. Oh my God. I was saying, it made me tear up, but that was just so cool. Like, man, How to Train Your Dragon. Yeah, I can see why people like it. It's wholesome. It's fine. It, you know, teaches you about responsibility. Great movies, actually. Probably won't get those anymore because, you know, Hollywood's hell-bent on giving you content with fucking troons in it. If so, you know.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. I don't know what, like, obviously, I grew up in a time where it was with, like, diversity was just a thing. It wasn't, like, the focus. It just had, like, I grew up with Pocahontas, Mulan. Like, I didn't think, like, I just enjoyed those films. Like, so, and like my favorite show growing up was Fresh Prince. Like none of this was. I don't get the big push now. It seemed like everything was okay. Like obviously I'm white, so what? Like apparently I wouldn't have an opinion on it. Apart from like I grew up in London, and there's not a lot of white folk in London. So it's like I grew up in a big diversity. I didn't see anything like that. And but yeah, social media, and it's kind of tearing society apart in one way or another. But
yeah, social media is like something that has completely warped people's minds on reality to the point where like if you go outside and you're like, wait a minute, nothing I'm hearing on this Twitter app is like happening to the degree that people are making it happen, like making it seem like it is.
Yeah, and that's on both sides. Like people on the right and the left, it's like it's this way and it's this way, and then you actually go outside and you speak to people and it's like it's actually really, it's not black and white, everything's gray. Like pretty much like, and most people just want to get about their day and do their thing. It's like I have met a few like people who are like activists in a way, but at the same time, like if you don't steer into their what like they're very strong belief, you can have a general normal conversation with them, and it's they don't shoehorn anything in. It's like, so it's one of those things. I think just if everyone just treats each other with a little bit more respect, everyone would kind of just get along a bit more. But both sides kind of rile each other off, and well, on social media, especially now that you can kind of monetize it, I think it doesn't help, because you know, you just take a bad take and you know you're gonna get like a lot of hits on that.
Yeah, because you could literally go on Twitter or X or whatever the fucking people want to call it and put like, hey, I think Catwoman is the best superhero movie of all time, and then just put before that hot take. And even though this person is probably talking out their ass and just saying some fucking like shit posting dog shit that even they don't believe, doesn't matter. 30,000 views, 50 likes, 50 retweets. All that matters is just the engagement. That's all that matters. No one that's in this planet believes Catwoman's a good movie, not even superhero fans. The fact that this one person on this earth believes it, and this random social media app, this random account, probably called like XX Pussy Destroyer XX, you know. I don't think he's being genuine, guys. Just saying. We should kind of see that.
But that's the thing. So much of it is like, come on, man. Like, can you not see this is bait? Like, it's just pure bait. Like,
I've seen them too. Like, you'll have like dudes that'll be like, cold take, not even hot take, cold take. What's a worse movie, Green Lantern with Ryan Reynolds or Justice League? And you have people legitimately fighting over that. And it's like, bruh, he's baiting you. He doesn't give a fuck about those movies. Those are trash movies.
They're both as bad. And you're just there like, no, this one's worse. This one's worse. It's just like,
it's like, what are you
even
arguing over at that point?
It's like, it's like, surely come together and just be like, no, they're both shit. Like, that's it.
So, because you said you grew up with comics, which comics did you grow up with? Because I know from talking to a few people in like your area of the world, they grew up with different kind of comics compared to American comics. You grew up with like, British comics actually then? Like Archie stuff?
Nah, not even. So basically, like, it all started because my dad, he was like a big collector. He got into it when he was young, but he got into Marvel and DC. So, like, to be fair, he was into Captain Britain, but yeah, still.
That's fair.
And then he actually had the, like, entire run of Captain Britain. And then when he married my mum, he needed money, so he sold all of it. And even at the time, for the complete collection, I think he got like $3,000 for it. This was like in the late 80s. So he did well out of it, but if he had held on to it, he would have got a lot more, to be fair. And my inheritance would be a lot more, a lot higher, to be fair, as well. But it is what it is. So, yeah, he was always into that. Like, there was always comics in my house. Like, he would always buy two of each one as well. So there'd be one that he would keep and frame, and then there'd be one that he'd read. But then as I was 5 years old, I got hold of his issue one Web of Spider-Man. And he only had one of those. And I opened it up and it was in black and white. And I'm 5. And Spider-Man needs to be colored in when you're 5. Mm-hmm. So like, I got my felt tip pens out and just colored in his issue one of Web of Spider-Man. And yeah, he was not happy about that. But yeah, my first ever comic he bought for me, because he would buy them, sit with me and read them to me, was Captain Carrot and Zuko. That was like that's like a core memory for me, right. like I still remember like my little box room, he's coming in being like, oh, I got you this comic, I see the little rabbit flying in space. And from then I was into comics for a good piece, and then I got into high school and kind of girls, sports, going out with my friends kind of took over. And yeah, it wasn't until Walking Dead, the issue one of Walking Dead, kind of got me comic back book. Into comic.
A lot of people don't know, before that TV show, a lot of people don't even know Walking Dead was based off a comic book. I didn't know that initially either. A lot of the favorite properties a lot of you guys like are actually based off just a novel or a comic book. The Walking Dead comics, actually, if you go back and look through history, sold very well. They still sell right now. Like LeagueOfComicsGeeks.com, because now they release them in like deluxe editions, actually. Walking Dead comics sell extremely well. Now, I've read a decent amount of them. Oh my God. Probably even more depressing than the show. That universe is depressing. Robert Kirkman, just I don't know how he grew up, but holy mother of God, he just wanted to see the world fucking burn.
I preferred it to the show. Like, there were certain things in the show. It's like I was
which
way
season did
ahead.
You fall off with? Did you watch the whole thing? Because I stopped Carl died. That was like season 7.
I didn't even get to when Carl died. It was her name Sasha? When Sasha came out of the box and she had been turned. That was like the last episode I watched. So what was that?
That was like season 2. Oh, no, season 3. That was season 3.
Was it Sasha?
You're talking about the governor's daughter, right?
No. Was it
Sasha? That might have been season 2.
What's his name? Oh, I can't remember. Is his name Tyrese? No, Tyrone. No.
Or is it Shane?
Nah, it was later on. It was after Negan. It was like halfway through the Negan saga. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing, I can't remember, like, it's been so long since I've read them, and I don't, and I've tried to not think, because the whole thing, like, there were so many things different from the comic to the TV show. Like, the Shane thing always annoyed me, because Shane wasn't meant to live past, he dies, you're like, well, I don't want to say, like, have you read any of the comics?
I did, I know.
Oh, yeah, so he dies, like, what, 6 issues in?
Yeah.
And this is the thing, Carl kills him, and I was just like, yeah, man. Like, Carl was my favorite character in the comic books. Like, Carl was just,
if you guys don't remember, in season 3 the governor is supposed to actually cut off Rick's hand. Rick actually has one hand at a certain point in the books. They don't do that. They kind of allude to it with Negan doing it when they first meet him after he bashes Carl's brains out. They don't do it, you know. There's just like specific things that they didn't do. The governor, people thought the governor was a horrible person on the show. No, it's a little bit more crazy in the books, actually.
So, yeah, he was mental in insane. The books,
yeah. Yeah, like by the time they got to Negan, you're like, oh, Negan's terrible. I mean, fuck, yeah. And I was saying, like, the only thing I never agree with what the books did, it was, or the shows, and I know it happens in the books too, which is they keep Negan alive, and I was like, I don't know if you should be keeping a guy like that alive. Nah, that guy should be dead.
Yeah, Negan should have died. I didn't like I get maybe they were going for the whole anti-hero vibe, but yeah, like they Rick was already like an anti-hero, to be fair. Like, I know it's like some of the things that he had to do, like, but like Cole, man, Cole, like they obviously there's so much in the comics that you couldn't put into a TV show. Like, there's a point where they kind of did it with the two little girls. You know, when the little girl goes, the two sisters, and they're with Carol, and like the one of the sisters, like, doesn't she kill her sister or something?
Yeah, she becomes like, she's like mentally deranged, and she like kills her sister. Yeah,
yeah. So in the comics, it's a set of twins that do it, and like the one twin kills the other twin, and then all the adults are at night like discussing like, what are we gonna do about this kid? We can't trust him. Like, he's gonna like he'll kill someone else, kind of thing. And none of the adults have like the stomach to kill a kid, which fair enough. Like, it's really tense and everything. And then you just see Carl walk out of the tent like, yeah, it's done. like Carl was just ruthless in the comics, and they didn't do him justice in the show. But and then, yeah, and then I heard they killed him, and that just made me not to want to watch the show.
Yeah, for me, I think they took out Rick. They basically killed off everyone except for Daryl. People forget, like, people know Daryl from the show. Guys, Daryl's a created character for the TV show. Daryl doesn't exist in the comic books, actually.
Don't get me wrong. He's a good character in the show, but yeah, he just wasn't in the comics.
Yeah. Like, I don't mind some changes here, or lack of their minor, because I get there are some things that just you can't do. But they made a decent amount of changes, and I was going like, because when I actually watched videos on the how the comics were, I was like, this is pretty different. I'll just say this is some pretty different people there. Carl's a lot different. Carl's way more mature in the books, actually. Grows up a lot faster. Rick does not look like Andrew Lincoln, who plays him. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good lord. Like, I'll say, because people had Game of Thrones as a show they used to watch on Sundays. Mine was The Walking Dead. I loved it for a long time. And I think at one point I will go back and review the seasons and stuff like that. But man, that show just knows how to tug at your fucking heart and break it in two. And then I know what happens in the books that do kill off main characters, but the way the show would kill off main characters, they were only doing it for shock value. They're like, well, you can't, one of these guys got to die off every season. You can't really trust they'll be alive. And it's like, you don't it's just really stupid to just kill off a character just because you feel like you need to shake things up. And it's like, that's kind of stupid, you know?
Yeah, like, give it a purpose kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
Don't just slaughter people because you think, oh, yeah, they won't see this coming. It's just like, it just desensitizes you to it kind of thing. You're just like, yeah, sometimes you would see it coming sometimes, like, oh, they're kind of ramping up and wrapping up this person's story, this person's gonna die soon kind of thing. But Walking Dead comic, great, got me straight back into comics.
Did you read Invincible by Robert Kirkman?
I've read a couple of them.
Those are fucking whew, Robert Kirkman knows how to just tell stories. I'll say he might be a retard idiot when it comes to like all this other left bullshit he'd be saying sometimes, but he knows how to write comics. He knows how to write stories. He knows how to put together universes very well. I will give him that.
Well, that's so, like, he's probably like my favorite writer, to be fair. Like, I've went back and read Invincible. Like, when I wasn't reading it as it came out, I read The Walking Dead as it came out. But like, after that, like, I was just grabbing old DC and Marvel things and kind of catching up with what I pretty much missed. Robert Kirkman's like probably like definitely one of my favorite writers. Like,
what was the last comic book run for a character you were even getting from Marvel or DC?
Actually, I'm getting the Ultimate Spider-Man at the moment, the Jonathan Hickman one.
I got issue one. I have issue two. I need to read issue two. Issue one was good. I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, solid. Mm-hmm.
I like Hickman, though. Like, I'm currently reading, because I read his Avengers run first, which obviously leads into Secret Wars. And then I was watching Comics Explained at a YouTube channel. And I saw him doing Fantastic Four that Jonathan Hickman did. And then I watched like the first video he did of that, and I was like, "Nah, I can't watch this. I need to read it." So I'm reading.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, he was one of the first comic book YouTubers I ever subscribed to, because when I grew up, I didn't have money to buy the book, so I wanted to know about the characters before the movies would come out. His videos would be there, and I'll say, Mr. Comic Explained does a great job at explaining what happens in previous runs to tie into this run. The videos are just great, and
yeah,
he had some of them where I was like, no, I don't care what happens, I pause video, go buy that book. Even if I finished the full book and I got spoilers, when I read it, the books were still just as good, actually.
Yeah
fucking hell, like I remember the Walking Dead ones, oh my god, those books are so goddamn depressing. Robert Kirkman, what is up with your damn brain? I don't get it, man. I don't get it. But you actually have your own comic book you're working on yourself, aren't you?
So it's live on Kickstarter at the moment, and that's Aurium Saga.
Okay.
It's issue one. Pretty much it's done. All the pages have been drawn. I didn't draw it. That was the artist I've got is Giulio Paparado. He's an Italian artist. It's black. It's like, basically, I kind of based this whole model on The Walking Dead. It's obviously it's not a zombie kind of thing, but like there's only one cover. It's in black and white. Pretty much, it's what Robert Kirkman did when he released it. I've kind of taken that little blueprint. It keeps costs down, which helps when you got like family to support and.
Yeah,
day job and whatnot. So
I'll tell people, hey, it doesn't really. I mean, manga is black and white, and it sells. No, yeah. You know, just as long as you're, you know, people always use this like, man, if you're telling a good story, it'll sell. It's like, thank you, yeah. And water's wet and the sun is hot. Thank you, glad you noticed that. So, the initial inspiration came from The Walking Dead. How did you come up with like the characters in the world, actually?
Basically, the world is it's a difficult one. So Aurium is ancient metal, and it's originally where your consciousness came from. So there's like a strange voice attached to it, and every single person on the planet thousands of years ago had Aurium in their blood instead of iron. Over time it kind of deteriorated and your Aurium became iron, but there's this one guy called Robert who basically has pure Aurium in his body, so even his bones are made from Aurium because it's just all metal in your body, like so calcium, so he can use it and corrupt it, and like he can turn his arms into blades, fingers into blades. Like he hasn't learned how to master it all yet, he's still learning it. So the world kind of came from, I was working at a science museum. Some scientist was telling me about if you took like two pieces of metal in space and you smashed them together, they would cold weld together. So they would essentially be welded together in space. And I kind of just built a story from that and just kept going. Robert is actually, it's funny because obviously the background there, you got My Hero Academia. Robert's very loosely based on Lemillion.
Okay.
I'm like, my name is also, it's basically, I used to go by Lemillion when I was playing Call of Duty because I was like, yeah, okay. I want to kill 100 people. And then I turned it into Star Million. But yeah, Robert's like filled with hope, wants to do the right thing, always will make the tough choices to save someone, even if it means like having to sacrifice something himself. That's all of the stories that I've ever written. Like this is the first comic that I'm doing. It's going to be four issues. It's okay. Self-contained in a way. I've got about four more stories to do after it, but they're all going to kind of hopefully come together by the end of it. Do like a sort of big game Mark Miller thing.
And so you wrote this, right? You're not the artist or anything. You're just the writer. That's it?
Yeah. Well, I'm the writer and the letterer. So
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now you don't have to pay for a letterer because you know that's
self-taught. It was a long process. I'd never used Photoshop before. literally downloaded Photoshop, lettered like the first, I think it was like the first 20 pages, went back and read through it. I was like, this is shit. So started again, watched a ton of YouTube videos, really kind of tried to get better. Luckily, I'd made a comic book that didn't have that many sound effects, so there's no crazy sound effects on it. That's like one of the only sound effects that it is. So I was like, yeah, better put that there.
And here is your campaign right here. Your funding goal. Obviously, you pledge it low, so people just feel like they can get in at a lower rate, which is pretty good. You're almost to $1,000. That's actually pretty good. Orium story digital. Actually, and that's the thing, a lot of people like harp on indie creators for having digital. It's like, but digital makes it available for people that don't have like the money, or they don't have like comic shops around them, or they just won't really. It helps with having access to it. I feel like the problem with comics, the reason why a lot of people don't have access to them, is because, you know, all the access they did have back in the day had been taken away. Digital makes it an aspect to be, you know, available for anybody.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. Like, I did play with the idea of maybe just doing like a purely digital release, but I've backed, I think, about 60, 61 things on Kickstarter. I need to kind of pick that off a bit, but.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like every time, because obviously I like to make sure that my artist is paid a fair rate. So it's like, really? There'll be a month there. Well, so I said to them about $80, and then they were like, oh, we'll do it for 60. I'm not going to turn around and be like, hey, no, I want to pay you more. So basically I said to him, like, look, once it's completed, once it's printed, because obviously I'm doing all the marketing for it, lettering it.
Oh, yeah.
I've wrote it. Like, I'm obviously handling all the printing costs, and obviously shipping's taken care of with people paying the shipping costs for it. But
yes.
Yeah, it's he basically, I said to him, I was like, look, let me pay you this. And then he was like, no, my rate's 60. It has went up since then. So I know he charges other people now like about 80, 85. But
a page?
Yeah. So like I give 80. Him.
Yeah. This is what a lot of people don't know, guys, is artists cost a lot of money, you know?
Yeah.
$80 like, a page. Now you factor in $80 a page for 24 pages. I'm pretty sure you can get where the math comes out of that. You know, it's a lot of money. It's about $1,000 right there, just in the art. But it's worth it because that's what sells the book, you know?
That's the thing, yeah. So basically he said $60, and then I was like, look, any profit that we make, I was never expecting to make any profit. We haven't made any profit yet. Any profit that we do make, or any future purchase of the work, like, you know, everyone likes a dream. Like, I'm hopefully following what Robert Kirkman's done. So I'm hoping AMC comes and knocks on my door one day with like a big old contract. But I said to him, like, we'll split everything 50-50. Even then he was like, no, we'll do 60-40. So I was like, okay. Like, he didn't want to take anything after it. He was like, just pay me and then that will be it. But luckily enough, we've worked on it for 2.5 years now. He's agreed to finish the series and to do, I think we're going to kind of be a partnership for all of my work, hopefully, because I do like him as an artist. Like, it took me a while to find him.
Just a nice, unique style. I think he has the style that you would need for this kind of a universe, kind of a dystopian, futuristic world where things have gone to basically shit.
Yes, it works. It's like got that gritty feel to it, and it's exactly what I was looking for. So I was happy to have found him, and he's done great work. And yeah, but I spoke with him the other day, and he's literally been like, yeah, like, I was like, I've got 3 more issues after this for this. Do you want to stay on? And he's more than happy to stay on. So essentially, he's been the only person to have fully read it so far, because obviously I'll send him all the scripts. But no, I really do very thankful for him.
Yeah. Have you seen any of the drama that has been in the indie comic book community from X?
Oh, yeah. Like, I tend to stay out of it. when I first jumped on like X, like, or Twitter, like I instinctively call it Twitter, but I know it's X. So I first jumped on like, what was it, in 2020, and I only jumped on because it was during COVID, and the guy that I worked for at the time, he was doing some crypto stuff, and he was like, look, I'll pay you like 2% of any profits if I make, if you can help me like find good investments. I jumped on Twitter, like it wasn't costing me anything, so I was like, cool, like if you make like $2,000, I get like what's that, like 200. So yeah, so I was like, okay, I'll jump on a Twitter and kind of see what I can see. It was all right. It lasted for a couple of months, and then it all like collapsed down. And so I didn't really even go on my Twitter. And then I started like just, I've been writing since 2015, but didn't do anything with it. And I just kind of was like, I got to do this. If I'm going to ever create something, I got to kind of do it.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Like you have a story in your head, you really want to get it out there. And that the one day you're just like, fuck it, I'm doing this now. You know, that's the thing, is even before I die, but I always hope before I'm dead and I'm 6 feet under, I will have a book series out that people can remember my work through. Now, whether it sells enough money or doesn't, I don't care. I'm just getting it done and I'm putting it out there. I'll put out writing that says black guy gets shot by the cops. If that's the level of writing, I got to do it.
So what, do you want to write a novel or is it going to be a comic
book? Comics are a little bit too expensive for that. I was thinking like I'll do a book series and the extra money that is made on the side from the books would get put towards that, actually.
Oh, okay.
Go from book to comic form, and that's kind of the idea I initially had for it. But as you know, Kickstarters and Indiegogos and these are essentially like fundraisers. These are a lot to do. These are a lot, you know?
Nice.
And some of them don't pan out very well. Some of them you more or less so just break even or a little bit under. It's before the marketing's like, the marketing is probably the biggest part of it, because you know, not only are you working, you have to go on people's, I mean, you have your own family, right? And you also have to come home, take care of all that stuff, do the writing, you're doing your own lettering, you have an artist, all that stuff. And then to promote, to get to more people, you gotta go on shows, right? You gotta go on other people's shows, and there's promotion. It's just, it's a lot. I'll say it's quite a bit. Actually,
yeah, like I did, like when it came to it, like, well, with the beef and stuff on Twitter, I was just like, I was I was a spectator for most of it, like, because you see it happening and you're like, I don't want to click this, and you click it anyway
because you want to
you know, it's
watching trains crash. That's just me.
Yeah, it's that morbid morbid curiosity, isn't it? Where you're just like, fuck it, I need to see what happens here. So you do, but then it was just getting to the point where it's like my entire algorithm was just beef, and it was like, this is ridiculous. And then I kind of stumbled upon Comics for Everyone at Tom Patu. And I was just like, oh, okay, this is there's no beef here. This is just people posting their links and stuff. And I was like I want to be able to see more of that. So I kind of just started doing that. I was just like, every day. It started as about 5 or 6 months ago. No, it was about 7 months ago. I was like, every day I was putting on Twitter, like, share your links kind of thing, like and share, encourage one another. I would drop in like an encouragement tweet to kind of be like, don't give up, like just make your comics. Like I said, this one issue has taken 2.5 years, and that's, some months I would have one page drawn and paid for. The next month I would have 4 pages. There was like 2 months where I couldn't afford to get any pages drawn, but it's that kind of thing where it's like I just stuck with it, and here I am now. And yeah, like you said, almost at $1,000. And I didn't expect that. That's why my funding goal was so low. I was there at like $200. I was like, we might not make it, but like, if we do, yay. Like, it just to make the book cost me £1,600. So I think what's that? That's just under $2,000. So like I've still got 28 days left on the campaign. Like I may break even, but I never went into this expecting it. Like the goal was just to get enough money to print it, to send it out.
Yeah, maybe that's all that really matters, you know, getting it printed to make sure it's sent out. You know, you'll have to you'll look at it and you'll be like, I'm sending my babies out. Ugh, never see this again.
Pretty much, man.
Yeah.
It's like, and yeah, use some of that money to put into the next one, because he's already got the page one, two, and three for the second issue. So he's storyboarding that now for me. So it's I'm hoping we can speed up the process of the next one, because that was one of the problems with the indie comics that I found, where it's like you put out a great book, but then you'll wait. It's not like Marvel or DC where they're like 30 days later, here's issue two. But like,
not even 30 days, next week another five issues are out. Yeah,
so, and that was another reason why I like to promote a lot of other people. Like, it's like whenever I do my promotion posts, I never put my own comic in there. Like, that space is purely for other people. I always make sure that I like at least repost it and leave a comment. If most of the time, though, I'll do a quote tweet and I'll leave a comment as well, and obviously like it. And to be honest, it don't matter if it's great art or like, it doesn't, like, there's enough people that like random people that follow me that anything might be liked by someone. So unless it's something like too left or too right, you know, where it's gonna cause issues, like I'll happily share like anyone's work, as long as it's like from a genuine place and it's not just straight up hateful in any manner. But like,
yeah, because I think a lot of people just won't understand all the intricacies that go into making a comic book. I didn't know until I started talking to people like you and other people that I've had on these shows. And it's, you know, artists and letterers, interior artists, inkers. I mean, you have writers that might be in the project. There's some people that can't do any of that. None of that at all. But they can, I mean, they might do the writing and, you know, that book will probably come out like shit. And you have just all of that. You have a team of people. They all got to get paid. Probably not getting paid what they're averagely going for, you know. Got to make sure it goes to the printer. Got to make sure that the funding goals hit. And you have to make sure it fulfills and gets sent to people. It's a lot. I tell people it's a lot. So when you see like the bigger companies getting books out every week, when someone's alone doing it by themselves with another smaller team of people, that's a lot different of a process. But, you know, that would make the indie comic artists that I've always said, makes them want to probably put their head in the sand more, because the ones that don't get their stuff out on time, it's like they're just not dedicated enough. They're just not putting in enough work, you know?
Can't speak for many, like, because obviously you never know what's going on. Like, I know some people, like, so, drama, everyone has issues in their life, and it's so something can happen and it can put stuff back. But I found that if you just communicate well and obviously don't take the piss, like, kind of thing, which some people have, to be honest. It's one of the reasons I didn't even start. I didn't want to launch my Kickstarter until I had my book completed, like the art completed, because the art is the longest process. I can letter like 10 pages in a day. So in a week, I can finish lettering it. It will look like shit and I'll need to go over it a couple of times. But within 2 weeks, the lettering's completely done. So I needed to make sure all the art was there, all paid for already, because one of the reasons why I won't back a Kickstarter, if I go onto it and you've launched a Kickstarter and then when it says the reward will be delivered, like the book's going to be delivered next year, like, because I have seen a few where it's like, like, pay me now and you'll get it next year. And it's like, dude, I'm going to forget about your book by next year. Like, and that's not me being rude. It's like when I do my promotion posts, I get like 50, at least 50 comments of people promoting their book. So it's like, unless your book's reaching me in like a month or two, like I'm not going to remember it kind of thing. So yeah, it puts it, I wanted to make sure my book was ready to go. And yeah, I would like to see more people do that. But then I've also heard the argument from some people being like, you shouldn't be selling a complete book on Kickstarter. That's not what it's for. So yeah, you kind of just screwed if you do and you're screwed if you don't, man.
That's how a lot of this feels like. Like anybody that tries to do something a little bit different is like, you're not doing it the right way. And it's like, well, you don't even know what the right way is. Like, what the fuck are we even arguing? It's just dumb people. And then you have the side that you're talking about where they'll put out the book to get funded for like next year. And it's like, then they're wondering why is no one talking about my book? And it's like, your book came out coming out in a year. And by the time I get it, I'm not being mean, but I don't know if I'm going to care at that time when I finally get it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the reason why Marvel and DC can on average be in the conversations because they're churning out books literally every week, you know? And yes. Then, as people know, if you're following one character, the character has a title book every month, but in the meantime, you have other several characters having their own titles weekly, you know? So they're constantly in the conversation because the amount of volume they can put out in the stores, it's much higher than the average person, you know? That's why you see, like, Valiant Comics. Valiant Comics is only doing, like, a book a month at this point. Just one.
Yeah. It's like, and it's like, I don't even know how Marvel and DC do it, because they've been, like, I don't know many people that buy the newest stuff, like, I don't know if that's just because, like, I don't know a lot of people up here in Scotland, but even back in when I was back in London, like,
no one. When you were in London, did you guys have a lot of comic book shops out there?
There wasn't a lot of independent ones. There's one big one, which is called Forbidden Planet, and that's in London. Like, there are obviously lots of independent ones hidden and tucked away. I remember one day, because I used to work security. I was walking home from like a football game. I was walking to a train station down in East London. I was from North London, so I didn't know this area. And I just saw this like rundown shop with like a grid on the window. And like, I don't know why I looked in it, but I did. And it was just filled with comics. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm going in there. And I bought a load of comics in there. None of them were priced. I don't think like they didn't get a lot of people coming in. They were literally, I was like, okay, how much is this, this, and this? They're on Google, like looking at what they should charge me for it. I was just like, surely you should just be happy that I came in here. Cause it's like, it looks like no one else has come in here. But Forbidden Planet, it's a franchise one. That's always packed pretty much. There's one up here in Glasgow as well. I'm hoping to get some of my, because they have like a local comic section. So I'm actually hoping to get some of my books in there. But
I got no spinner racks.
Yeah, like I got to see how that goes. Obviously, the book itself, it's like dark sci-fi. It has some gory moments in it, but it's black and white, so that's the bit I always argue about. If anyone's like, oh, it's gory, I'm like, it's black and white, man. Like, it's like the old game. It's like, well, I say when anime comes over from like Japan, they change the blood to like white, and it's like, dude, what the fuck. Like, yeah, it should be cool, but we're getting there. Like, I just saw 65 backers. Like, I never thought I'd hit that. So I'm really happy.
And that's the other thing is the collaborative process is you have a good relationship with your artists, right?
I like to think so.
Like, does he give you like any like feedback on the actual writing of the book, actually?
No, I don't. That might possibly, because he's Italian, so it might possibly be like a language barrier thing. So yeah,
that would definitely fix that. Yeah,
like I'm the way he speaks, it seems like he can speak English. It's not like he's getting my script and banging it into Google Translate or anything like that. So I think he can, but he's not offered any, like, there's been points where he's reading it, like, he'll read it and he'll make a point to actually come back to me, like, yeah, that's really good. This is really good kind of thing. So I like when that happens, but there's been a few times where I've just asked him to be a bit more, like, creative with it. Because I'm very, certain pages, it's like, I have the vision of what I want it to look like, what the panels need to be doing, where they're going and everything. And I'm like, I want it like this. And then I'll even draw something on like Microsoft Paint. I'm like, look, like this, like the lines here, this. And then number each panel and be like, so that's how it'll flow. And he's like, okay, yeah, I'll make it work. And he's just been great with stuff like that. A few times I've asked him to just kind of free, like I've given him the page. I'm like, look, it has to have this on it. Just go for it. What do you think would work here? And he's come back with some, like, there's only once or twice where I've actually had to say to him on the work, like, oh no, can we just change this or change this? So, and I think it's 3 times in 32 pages and God knows how many panels in total, but it's only 3 different times.
Oh, right. Your book's going to be 32 pages. Okay. That's pretty big size for something of this, because you know, you want to make sure you're giving out a decent sized book before you get to the next one. That way, you know, people are going to be like, oh, well, this is only, you get 24 pages. Guys, 24 pages is like nothing. Like people can burn through that in like fucking, like I could probably burn through that in like 10 minutes if I really wanted to. The only reason why I haven't got through all of my comic books is because I'm old and I'm a lazy bastard. And there's some days I have a lot of other problems, you know, like, so we're doing this one next. I know what the story is, but we're doing this one next, actually. Yeah. We're going to review this next Wednesday on Comic Book Club, actually. Because if people don't know, Wednesdays, we have Wednesday Top Gs, we have Comic Book Club. And if we don't have a book to review on, like, Wednesdays moving forward, I might just do, like, a comic book shop Wednesday, like Royce with the Drink of Crazy does, actually. I was really thinking about it, because I was like, you know what? I could put a light on other people's projects, and I really want to do that, so might be the next thing we do. But you know, I can't be giving people free clout. Like, what am I, the clout master? Like, what the heck?
Have you read The Long Halloween before?
Yes, yeah? I had a long time ago. So I know the twists and stuff in there, but man, I'm gonna go back through it again, because it's the art. It will look a little bit jarring to a lot of people at this point now if they look at it, but it actually complements that style of the book very well, you know?
Yeah, no, that was the second, like, sort of the second, like, little full Batman story I read. The first ones were like Legends of the Dark Knight from back, I think it was like the early 90s that came out.
Legends of the Dark Knight. Oh, what, that was I think I know what you're talking about. It's not the one with like Hugo Strange and Catwoman.
Yes,
actually. Yeah, story is really good. Yeah, that incel story they told with Hugo Strange in that book ages so well. Ages perfectly. Good Lord. It sucks how, you know, we had the Batman Hush story, which is really, really good. That's one of my favorite Batman stories ever. And the movie came out, and I was that Family Guy meme of like, okay, and snap your own neck. If you guys love the Batman Hush book, do not watch that movie. That movie is a steaming pile of dog shit. Fuck that movie.
I feel like it was a set, like, I do, like, I like the Killing Joke, but the film, it was just like, dude, you don't have to make extra content. Just feel like if it's going to be half an hour, it's going to be half an hour. It's cool. Like, you don't need to add in this.
They only,
like,
did it so they could put it in the movie theaters. And I'm like, okay, so you're just making like filler content, which nobody fucking likes, even in anime,
Just re-release Mask of Phantasm, man. Like, if you want to stick a Batman animated film in the cinema, just re-release that. People are going to go watch that, man, every single time.
Oh, good God, man. Mask of Phantasm is so goddamn good. I gotta go back and rewatch that. That movie's freaking just. Chef's kiss.
Under the Red Hood, really liked the animated version of Under.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, even the book is good too. Like, no one talks about the story behind that movie. The book is great too, actually. Gosh, what else is there? Because, like, recently, the only comic books that have been really selling, well, it's on a big level that matters to stores, is, like, Ultimate Spider-Man, the Transformer comic books that have been coming out recently, and the G.I. Joe stuff, so...
Well, that's the thing. I've got the first four Transformer issues.
Did you like them?
Oh, yeah, man. Like, I'm trying to get... I read the first one with my kid, and it ended in a way where I was like, okay, man, he's only eight. Maybe I should read this with him just yet. But, like, because I grew up watching Transformers, playing with Transformers. So I'm like, get into Transformers. That and Teenage...
They have the trade paperback of it comes out in May. Because I got... Okay, so I bought the original issue one because I read the synopsis, and it was from Skybound Image, and I was like, that's... It just... look like a slam dunk, so I ended up getting it, and I can't find it. Actually, I ordered so many books, so I put it in there, and then I couldn't find it, so I ended up just reordering issue one. So I'm gonna read issue one and review it, and I'm gonna wait until the trade comes out, and then wherever the trade, because the trade is gonna be issues 1-6. After I read the trade, whatever issues are after that, then I'll just pick them up, like, you know, subsequently, because the next trade won't be until like issue 12. Anyway, so there'll be enough time to buy issues 7, 8 and then read them and review them before the trade comes out. Actually,
not decent.
Cool. These are like awesome Gen 1 designs, though. Holy fucking shit. Ooh, I love it.
That's my thing at the moment. Trying to get my kids into comics, trying to get my comic out there. And
it's just the comic world, and we're living in it, apparently. That's how it is. Because, like, I always say this, you know, if there's a, you know, it always feel great to get retweeted or, you know, put on a show with a bigger person to get potentially, you know, get more sales on any indie comic book. But, you know, people are going to understand when it comes to bigger creators, they have a, there's a lot of thing that goes into what they're doing to make sure their life is secure. Because if you're a bigger content creator, you have to worry about how much money you make off your content and all that stuff. And it's all based off audience. So if the audience doesn't really, if the audience knows you're there for one thing and they're bringing on like some guy talking about his comic book, it's probably not going to resonate with them very well. You kind of have to do what the audience wants if you're that big, because, well, that's where all your money is. You know, I've seen a lot of people say, why doesn't this content creator I actually don't like and actually been talking shit about for like the last year, why doesn't he bring me on his show? It's like, well, first of all, that would be horrible. You don't even like that guy. So that'd be just a terrible show in general. Second, I'm pretty sure they're not coming there for comics. That's why I thought about just starting so I have a YouTube channel. So I'm thinking about using my other backup account for a channel just based strictly through comics. Actually, that's what I'm thinking about, because, you know, it would drag the audience of that to the right area, you know? And most people aren't trying to watch a show that is just a bunch of commercials, you know? Like, as some people are like, why don't you just have a show where you just play a bunch of indie comic trailers? Well, first of all, indie comic trailers don't really do that much, you know?
It's like, it's not like you're going to put out like a program kind of thing and be like, tune in at this time and you can see this trailer kind of thing. It's like... I don't expect anyone to, like, that's the thing. I tend not to, I want to go on more shows, and I should probably be more, like, asked to go on more. But generally, like, I'm too self-conscious, I think, to, like, just, rock off into someone's DMs and be like, hey man, can I come on your show? but the bigger guys, like, I completely get it. Like, like, I used to watch a lot of like Critical Drinker, and it's like,
I'm pretty sure he's just out of the world.
he's I don't think he's too far from where I live now even. But it's kind of like it's like that's their job now. Like, it's not kind of thing where it's they're going and do their day job and then they come. I know he's a writer as well, isn't he? So I know he's doing that as well, but like I would imagine one of his main sources of income is YouTube. So it's like he has to keep the views up, which means he has to do this and he has to do that. And that's the same with obviously probably Eric July and all of them. Like, when I was working nights, like, I was banging all those YouTube channels because there was just so much content there for me to get involved with. So I was like, all right, I like Star Wars. I don't like what's happening to Star Wars. Like, what have you got to say about it?
You probably don't like what's happening with the Acolyte trailer. I didn't even bother watching it. I told people I was already out. I don't give a shit. It's a dead brand. Like, the only thing the only thing in Star Wars that I'll even pick up is like Darth Vader comics. That's it. Because, like, Darth Vader comics and stuff that I've actually been able to, like, somewhat go through a little bit, they're actually pretty decent. They're actually pretty good. But, like, other than, like, that, I don't care anymore. Like, who gets fucking hell? If anyone's looking for this stuff to change, my dad would have to come back in my life for that to happen. You know, black, like, no dad, you know? So, like, it's never going to happen, guys. You know, I'm just being honest. Like, Star Wars is probably not going to be as good as you remember.
Well, that's anymore. The thing, like, my dad got me into Star Wars. Like, I remember sitting on, like, my dial-up internet on AOL, like, saying to my dad, like, Google it. Like, it wasn't Google then. It was, like, fucking Ask Jeeves or something. And I was like, will there be, like, Star Wars Episode 7? And my dad just came in and was like, no, there won't be. And then they went and did it. And don't get me wrong, I got caught up in the fanfare of The Force Awakens, and then I watched it. I worked at a cinema at the time, and I had to sit. It was an IMAX, so I ended up having to sit in the cinema to help people, like, show them where the toilet is. So I got paid, like, £18 an hour to watch The Force Awakens about 25 times, and no one could understand why I didn't like it by the end of it. And I was just like, because it's just not, like, what, like, where was Rey's training? How could she do a Jedi mind trick, like, without knowing, like, she's never seen anyone do it. Like, what's, so I started to fall off it. And then The Last Jedi, I just kind of was like, this is just so bad. And I didn't even bother to go see Rise of Skywalker in the cinema. Like, I just waited for it to come on TV, and I watched it on TV, and I was like, well, I'm glad I didn't have to go and pay to watch it, to be fair. So, yeah. And then the last show I watched was Obi-Wan.
Yeah, same here. I watched that, and it was so bad, and I was like, it was that show, because it was so bad, and I was like, bro, this is trash, no more. And I heard after that that Andor was good, but I was like, I didn't care after that. I don't fucking hell. I had to watch Boba Fett, too, and I was like, this is just, okay.
Boba Fett was Boba Fett for, like, 3 episodes, and then, like, the other 3 episodes was Mandalorian season 2.5. I was like, all right, like, I'll go with it. It's like, even I haven't watched Mandalorian season 3 because I just could, after Luke Skywalker turned up. Like, don't get me wrong, when Luke came back, until he removed his hood, like, like, I was sitting next to my wife. I was like a kid. I'm like slapping her leg. I'm like, it's Luke. It's Luke. And then he takes the hood off, and I'm like, oh, that's on. Just, why didn't you just get Sebastian Stan? Like, yeah, just to come in. And
is, people don't remember, in Boba Fett, they had him cameo in his own show, because they were like, Boba Fett sucks so bad, let's just bring in the Mandalorian. And they basically said 2 episodes of the Mandalorian in Boba Fett, because it was so bad. And then the last episode is all, what a bunch of dumpster fire shows. And then I know they came up with Ahsoka and Andor, and I don't care anymore. Just for me, it's just Darth Vader comic books. That's all I care about. That's it. That's all that matters to me.
I haven't picked up any. I do want to get. Like, I've only heard good things about the Vader comic books. So it's something that I eventually do want to kind of check out. But that's the thing, like, I don't know now, like, how much freedom do you have when you're creating this sort of things? Because obviously I know Disney are, like, the owners of it now. So how do they give a shit about the comics kind of thing? Like, can you kind of maybe do what you want with them to a certain extent? Or are they going to come in and be like, no, you have to have this and this? Like, so obviously I think everyone that writes comics has a dream to do something for one of the big two. Like, they might say that they don't, but I think I think everyone does. You've got, like, everyone's got, like, a hero that they would love to write for, kind of thing. So, but I just don't see those opportunities, like, happening as often now, it seems. Like,
no way. Mm-hmm. Unless you want to just completely sell your soul and, you know, get blacklisted for a bad opinion. probably best to stay independent, but it's gonna be a lot harder. But you know, when it's a lot harder and it happens, it's gonna feel a whole lot better. That's what I would always say. So, two more things I want to ask you before we head out, which is, you got any big plans for yourself coming up this year? I'm pretty sure you don't do YouTube, so you're just only focused on this at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah. So basically, like, what was it, like a month ago? Like, I put out two YouTube videos where it's just because I do the promoting of other people's work pretty much. It was every day. Now it's every other day. So what I'll do is one day I'll put up the share post, get everyone to share their work with me. The next day, once everyone's had enough time to share it, like, I'll go through all the comments and I will like and comment, quote tweet and retweet and drop comments on every single person that leaves something on that. And it was just getting to the point where I kind of wanted to extend it. So yeah, I did pick up, sorted out a YouTube channel, made two YouTube videos, just about 10 minutes long each, where it's just two separate comic books that someone has shared with me. I reached out to them. I was like, hey, mate, I want to promote your book on my YouTube channel. It's got like 20 subscribers. Yeah. Can I do that? And they were like, yeah, no, of course. They're really, really friendly and welcoming. And I think, who's going to say no to like free publicity, even if it's a tiny YouTube channel kind of thing? So they were good for it. But then obviously getting the Kickstarter up and running, getting the promotion done, making sure the comic's in the best kind of condition that it is, writing for the next one. I outlined a four page story today, and I kind of started to write it because one, I kind of talking with a few people about possibly getting like an anthology sorted out for the end of the year. And that's with the guys over at Bent Box Comics. So that's something that we could do. But mostly, yeah, it's just getting Aurium issue one out. Hopefully I would like to have Aurium issue two out by the end of the year, but I think that could be a stretch, and I don't know if my wife's going to be happy about me spending like another £1,600 on a comic again. But if it keeps going the way it's going, I might not need to spend too much of my own money and just reinvest everything straight back into the next one. Because like I said, yeah, four issues, 32 pages each. So by the fourth issue, I can also release it as a graphic novel as well. But this year, I might jump back on YouTube if I get some time, but mostly just Twitter and writing.
Yeah. And any shout outs you want to give to anyone in particular, and anything else you want to say before we head out?
Check out Bent Box Comics. Basically, they got Artificial 2 coming out and a new series called Wingless. Mm-hmm. Wingless looks great. It's the art is just like it, when you see it looks really great, honestly. It's well worth it, and there's a really well put together trailer with it. Artificial 2 is the second issue from Artificial, but that's got such a unique story. It's about Vincent van Gogh is sent to the future, where AI is kind of taken over, and him and he fights against the AI, and it's really cool. And it's such a unique style. So definitely those two books, and also jump on any of my shares, and you can see hundreds of indie comics that all need some love. So yeah,
and thank you for coming on, man. And as you guys know, we have plenty of awesome content coming out very soon. Obviously, when I'm not being a lazy fucking bastard some days, you know, being hot and good looking and rich and banging out four chicks a day, you know, makes the man tired.
That's the life, you, man.
Oh, yeah. It's all in my head, actually, you know. Well, see you guys later. Have a great day, everybody. Peace. Deuces.